You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
I will tell you, so what I did was I decided to go ahead and just dive into what I was feeling when I saw the images, that initial gut feeling. And so what that gut feeling brought about was things and feelings like shock. And I took myself back into that time, shock, numbness, being scared, angry, crying out to God, why? To disgust. I was disgusted. I also had empathetic hurt, all the way to despair. And there was so much more in that pool of emotions that I was feeling, but that was what came up initially. And like the Book of Lamentations, there is heartache and there is profound sorrow. I really appreciate this author's pouring out of his soul into this book. By what he does is he moves through the depths of pain and hurt and sorrow. And there's honesty. There's honesty that even includes questions that you may have said as well. How has God allowed this to happen? Or why did God do this? Or what have I done to deserve this? Or divine creator, don't you know how badly we are hurting? How broken we are? Why are you ignoring our pleas? Where are you, God? It's relatable to what Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross. Abba, Abba, why have you forsaken me? On this Sunday, September the 11th, 2022, we are 21 years removed from one of the most tragic events of American history, and an event that impacted the entire world. On Tuesday, that Tuesday in 2001, four airplanes were hijacked in flight by terrorists. Two planes were flown into the Twin Towers in New York City, causing their collapse. Another plane crashed into the Pentagon in Virginia. And a fourth plane crashed in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, after passengers resisted their hijackers. All total, 2,977 people died, and almost, and I think it may be even over, 6,000 people were injured. And in addition, there's countless others who became sick because they inhaled dust and all the toxic chemicals that were released when the Twin Towers collapsed. Many here in the sanctuary today, those listening and connecting with us online and listening to the podcast, you may remember this horrific moment in time. And if you do, you remember where you were, you remember who you were with, you remember those feelings that arose with you, and you remember how it was life before and then after this happened. There are many others, though, part of this faith community, those connecting with us today in person and online, that you weren't even born yet, or you were too young to even know anything of what was going on. And for you, your feeling of being left to walk in the night, far away from the light, when you felt, you may have felt that God was surrounding you and overwhelming you with, I'd say, anger and calamity. Well, maybe that was January 6th insurrection, the attack on the U.S. Capitol. And we're still dealing with that. Or when George Floyd was murdered on May 25th of the same year in 2020, while he was in police custody following a series of protests, the civil unrest against police brutality and racism. Abba, Abba, why have you forsaken us? And that feeling of utter despair in what is all seemingly lost in your pleading, how long, O Lord? How long? Questioning, where have goodness and mercy, where has it gone? We aren't alone when we're struggling with doubt. I want you to know that. Even Mother Teresa struggled with doubt. There's this letter that Mother Teresa wrote in 1978. She sent it to a spiritual confidant, and it was then shared, became widely shared, and it surprised so many people. And popular media, and 1978, hello, no Facebook, no Twitter, no nothing like social media, but it just took off like wildfire. And this is what she had confessed in this letter. The silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer, but does not speak. You know, I feel if Mother Teresa were still alive today, that those exact sentiments would have been expressed through the crises and regarding the crises and tragedies that we have each faced and we have each gone through, and that suffering, that shared suffering, that individual suffering. You know, consider what this means in your own context. But I want you to also consider what it means in the context of others' lives and what they are going through. That context may be dealing, for an example, dealing with a severe illness. It may be the loss of a loved one. This week, September 8th, right? There's an entire country mourning the death of Queen Elizabeth II. Bullying, the horrors of racism and all the other isms that are out there that in their insidious forms. Being ostracized or threatened because you're part of the LGBTQ community. Feeling the enormous weight of financial burden, and you just feel like there's no way, you can't see any way out of it. Impacted by gun violence or any kind of violence at all. September the 7th, Memphis, Tennessee, 4 people shot, killed, 3 others injured. On September the 4th, Saskatchewan, over in Canada, right? 10 indigenous people were stabbed to death. 18 were injured due to the stabbings, and the 2 suspects are died. They died. This list is long. This list is just heartbreaking. And friends, such struggles and such doubts, get this, it's part of our walk of faith. It is part of our walk of faith. In the worst of times, it is hard. It is so hard to have the conviction that God is with us or through us, that God is bringing about the right things. Lamentations is one of the texts in the Bible that demands that readers live for a while, with such doubts rather than just always pushing them out of our minds. Live with it. There's this quote that is shared by the late eminent Old Testament scholar, Delbert Hillers, that is very apt to acknowledge that people live on best after calamity, not by utterly repressing their grief and shock, but by facing it and by measuring its dimensions. A couple of months ago, I visited the city of New York City for 5 days. And one of those days was, I earmarked it just so I could go to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. And not as a tourist, but as a pilgrim. Because what I wanted to do, even though I was removed by 2 decades, what I wanted to do was I wanted to face my own grief, that which I had felt. I wanted to remember and I wanted to honor those who had died. In the footprints of the old towers, there stands, and I stood by, the twin waterfall pools that are named Reflecting Absence. Reflecting Absence. They're each nearly an acre in size. Each of these pools are surrounded by bronze parapets, and they list the names of the victims of the 9/11 attacks, as well as the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. These pools, what they do is they descend 30 feet, and you can see it. They descend 30 feet, and then the water further drops another 20 feet, disappearing into the smaller central void. It can't be filled up, though. It is never filled up. That water flows into the voids, and hence it is called and reflects absence. And yet, in the absence, in the lament and the remembrance, the 9/11 Memorial and Museum are a reminder to us that we individually and collectively have the ability to recover and to rebuild, that all is not lost. You know, thinking about this in relation to our faith, I think of Jesus. I think of Jesus who emptied of himself of glory, this Jesus who took on human flesh, this Jesus who was crucified for us. He was crucified for us, that those then who were following Jesus, they were absolutely devastated. They were thrown headfirst into a massive sea of doubt, doubting everything, and they doubted God. And they're wondering what they had done to deserve this. And they were wondering what's next. And they were wondering how they're going to overcome their grief. Siblings of Christ, in this expanse of this life that we live with, whatever it is that we are going through, in the wondering personally and collectively, it is important that we give ourselves the permission to grieve. It is important we lament, dealing with and understanding the magnitude of the sorrow, the loss, the death we are experiencing. And while we delve into our own personal journey of lament and grieving, I want you to know this. There is immense power, healing power, in the communal expression of sorrow. As we prepare to receive a special reading by way of recording from Anna Kelly, in the words of the contemplative singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. May we become the blessing of our broken places. Amen.
Mark mentioned in his message that many of us do indeed remember where we were on September 11th. At that time, I had a totally different career, and I was working in wardrobe at ABC on the now defunct soap opera, Port Charles. And the first thing I remember about 9/11 was being awakened by my best friend and housemate at the time, who came into my room and said, he had just gotten a call from NBC where he was doing Access Hollywood, and he had to rush right into the studio, but I needed to get up and go in the family room and turn on the television, which is what I did. Almost immediately, my phone rang, and it was one of our producers on Port Charles who said to me, you need to get to the studio right away. We are still going to tape a soap opera today. I think I had the definition of a pregnant pause. And I said to her, are you kidding me? How can we possibly tape a soap opera today? I don't remember what she said after that, but very soon, before I ever got ready and left the house, I received another call that said all of the actors had refused to go on camera and record a soap opera today, and so we would not be doing that. That day did indeed create great trauma for all of us who lived through that day. For we didn't know at that moment how things were going to turn out. We didn't quite know what was happening. Everything was unfolding in real time, and I think we were all very blindsided by everything. That moment of trauma, like all trauma that we go through in our lives, have an afterlife. Things can continue to trigger the memory of those initial moments, and they can paralyze us all over again. Among other things, it is called the grief journey. And we never know when those events will reoccur in our memories and cause us to respond with pain and fear. In June of 2002, I took my first airplane flight after the events of 9/11. And I flew to Washington, D.C. to visit with friends and to visit with family. And one evening, I was driving in a car with a friend of mine, and we were driving over the 14th Street Bridge from D.C. into Virginia. Now, if you've ever done that, and you can see it here, the last thing that you see in D.C. as you start over the bridge is the Jefferson Memorial. And when you get to the Virginia side, the very first thing you see is the Pentagon. And as we got nearer to the Pentagon, and I looked over, and I saw on the side of that building this gaping hole. Much to my surprise, I burst into tears. My parents, when I was young, worked at the Pentagon, and even at that time, I had friends that worked there. And that hole in the building reminded me again of our vulnerability. How vulnerable we are to outside forces. On January the 6th, 2021, as the capital of our United States was invaded by anarchists and insurrectionists, I remember that as a little child, my friends and I would go over to the Capitol and we would play in the rotunda. Now, by play, I mean we didn't run around and scream and shout. I was dignified even at 11. We mostly roamed around and looked for famous people we had seen on television. But we appreciated and respected the dignity and the symbolism of all that that building represented. Lamentations is a very interesting book to read. It is part of the Hebrew canon, or as we Christians refer to it, the Old Testament. And few people ever read it, or perhaps even know about it, and seldom do preachers ever talk about it, and it almost never comes up in Christian liturgy. I actually don't think I had ever read it until I went to seminary. And we studied it, and I became acquainted with its richness and its power for us. Most people think it's too bleak and that it's too much of a downer. But I actually think it is a very interesting book. It is believed to have been written after the events of 586 BC when the Babylonians had overrun Jerusalem and destroyed the Jewish temple. Now, commentaries on the book say many things. Among them, Lamentations may well be the most remarkable and compelling testament to the human spirit's will to live in all of the Old Testament. And they also say this: Lamentations stubbornly holds on to life and manifests a will to live that comes from knowledge of or belief in tomorrow. Tomorrow, our memories, how we process that. Tomorrow, our sense of hope. Lamentations reminds us, I remember my woes and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. Those memories are so clear to me and they fill me with despair. Yet, it is because I remember all this that I have hope. Yahweh's favor is not exhausted, nor has God's compassion failed. They rise up anew each morning. So great is God's faithfulness. Yahweh is all I have. I cry, so I wait in patience. Many of you know this about me, and many of you probably don't, but a large part of my ministry is working with newly grieving families who have lost a loved one. And I do this work through Forest Lawn. It's never something I thought I would do in ministry. I never set out to do that. But we never know where God is going to call us as ordained ministers. But we also don't know where God is going to call us as the community of faith to serve others in community. So a couple of years ago, I was asked to do a service for a 21-year-old girl who was a victim of bullying, and she committed suicide. Abigail was a beautiful girl with her entire future ahead of her. And in her pain at being bullied and through all the despair that she was going through, she sought a way for herself to cope, but she also saw a need to help others who were also going through what she was going through, being bullied. Her family mentioned to me that she had written a blog to journal about her experience and also to help other people, and I asked them if I could read some of the blog, and I did. And with tears streaming down my face, I read her beautiful journey and what she experienced, and her hope for tomorrow. One of the things in her journey that she said was, if energy cannot be created or destroyed, that means death isn't the end. And then in a blog post of August of that year, she wrote, it makes me sad that we are chosen to be put on earth to simply live the human experience and enjoy life for the short time that it occurs and live freely and happily, yet the average of us are slaves to capitalism and work our asses off struggling to make ends meet. I have never forgotten Abigail. The traumas we face in life can have a lasting effect upon us. And yes, like grief, they can diminish over time, but it never really goes away. What we learn is how to endure and how to move forward. I believe our passage from Lamentations can help us to do just that by remembering our hope and our future promised to us by God, who is forever right where we are to walk with us through whatever it is that we face. This passage reminds us that God's compassion and faithfulness are real, not just for a few, but for everyone. So in verse 24, when it says, so I will wait in patience, how do we do that? And I believe it starts very simply. Listen to your life. If you listen closely and intently, with all of your heart as well as your mind, you realize that all of humanity is one that God loves us as one. That all we go through, the fear and the trauma and the uncertainty, God still shows up for us, and he shows up for us equally. The God that led the Hebrew people out of bondage and slavery in Egypt shows up for you. The God that showed up for Job shows up for you. The God that showed up for the Hebrew people in Lamentations shows up for you. The God who showed up for the leper that Jesus healed, the woman who was bleeding, the thief on the cross, and even Jesus himself on a cross, dying as he was being murdered, shows up for you. The same God. It doesn't matter what you call God. God doesn't care what we call God. God just pours out love and grace and wants to comfort us. And God always shows up for you and for me. God is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and always, because God is forever constant. We know that we live in a world where things are always changing and we don't know what we can depend upon, but on God, we have the assurance that God is always there. So listen to your life. It is revealing still more of God moving and acting in your life. And you'll discover it if you listen. As Pastor Mark and I started working weeks ago on planning for this service, I have not had 9/11 out of my mind. And so last week I was doing a service for a family, and the service was for their mother and their father, who died 8 days apart. And as I met with them again, before the service, the son, Steve, happened to mention to me that he was in the Pentagon on 9/11 and that he had barely escaped because the plane didn't quite hit the section that he worked in. I asked him how he copes with the idea that so many people he knew died and he was spared. He paused for a moment and he said, he blesses those people every day. And he knows that he now has an obligation to live his life in service to others and to create a community of service where all people feel loved and accepted. Writer Frederick Buechner told the New York Times in 1992, "Trust that if God is anywhere, God is here, which means that there is no telling where God may turn up next, around what sudden bend of the path, if you happen to have your eyes and ears open, your wits about you, in what odd small amounts, almost too foolish to tell." So listen to your life. Your life is God seeking to have expression in you. God is reaching out to minister to you through the traumas and the despairs that we face. And we all face them. And we will face them. But you know something, and know this with me, that those traumas and those fears and those times when we feel the most of despair are not the end of our story. They're just a plot point. But the story is that if you listen to God, you will know with the writers of Lamentation that God is indeed our faithfulness on our journey. Yahweh is all I have, so I wait. I wait in patience. May you be blessed this day. May God speak to you as you listen to your life. And may the you that you are today, when you walk out that door, be a different you than walked in the door 4 hours ago when we began this. And celebrate that. Celebrate that God that lives within you. God bless you.